Hey, we're so thankful that you are here. Thank you that you're online today, and I know many are. And it's pretty bad out there. Our weathermen actually got this one right, with all due respect, those weather guys. But you know, it's pretty bad. Matt, great job. You even had our Ace Hardware guys here this morning. And I mean, that's like the A-team. I mean, I wanted those guys autographed because they were all over the news. And so that was pretty good. But thank you, Matt, for that. I know you braved it today. But also thank you guys for coming. Thanks for joining us together. I do want to say about Family Matters tonight. Because of the schedule, we have a winter weekend next weekend. Then it's the Super Bowl. Then we're getting into Passion Week and all those things. We will do a digital version of Family Matters, and we will record that this week and get that out to you. It'll be about a 30-minute video coming your way, so I do hope that you take the time to dig into that. But we've been in this series in Revelations. Keep your Bibles open to Revelation 2. And in this chapter, you see God writing to seven individual churches. And this is a message directly from Jesus. I know John is the author of Revelation, but we understand that the Bible is God's word to us. And this is really an important message for us because each one of these individual churches were real people dealing with real problems. As I think about churches, that's our calling. We are called to tackle real problems in the world, real problems of our generation. And what's important about these individual churches is that I think they speak not only to these times as John was writing, but I think these specific churches have messages to every church throughout history. And especially as we live at these interesting times, as we see prophecy coming into view, as we see how important it is for us to pay attention to these specific messages. Now, each message from each church, I think, is important. And so let's recap. We saw the first week. This is the fourth church we're going to look at. And the first week was Ephesus. And kind of a recap of Ephesus is they heard a message about not letting their love for God cool. And this is important for us, to not allow our love for Jesus to cool. You see the Smyrna recap. That message to that church was to prepare for a spiritual attack. You saw, and this is important, because as a church, we are under spiritual attack. There is a real spiritual enemy, and it's important for us to catch that message. The Pergamum recap, they were challenged, as you just understand that message to Pergamum, they were challenged to refuse to drift away from God's revelation. Every one of these messages are important for the church today, for us, for our church. Even as we are navigating the days we are in and with the opportunities and the challenges. Now, Thyatira is this church that we're going to look at today in Revelation chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2. Now, if you're going to recap chapter 2 or the message to the church at Thyatira, it's really important for us. And here's what we're going to recognize as we see what God is saying, what Jesus himself is saying to Thyatira. And it's simply this, you're taking notes, this is something I pray you catch, is that we are called to anchor our lives, anchor your life to spirit-led obedience. Now let's think about this. One of our church's core values is to be spirit-led. And when I look at the message of the church at Thyatira, they needed to catch this calling. And I think we need to catch this calling to spirit-led obedience to God. And this, you know, on days like today, that's out of our norm. I specifically want to turn into the Lord today. Because it's days like this that maybe you're in your living room and maybe it's out of your norm. It's out of our norm for today. It's out of my norm as a pastor. I think we need to specifically pay attention to God's voice during these curveball moments. Because I found that in curveball moments, God really has a way of getting our attention. So let's lean into what he says today. And when you look at this church at Thyatira, it's an interesting message, an important message, how the Holy Spirit, and we understand that the Holy Spirit, what he does in our lives, he confronts us, he corrects us, and he gives us the strength to be faithful and to endure no matter what the circumstance. Now, with Thyatira, he addresses this church, and he commends them for a few things. He commends them for their love, for their service, for their perseverance. This was a church that was growing up in their faith. They were increasing. They were likely growing. But he gives them a very harsh warning. I even think about the challenge of this, of even this snowy day. It's beautiful. I mean, the snow is beautiful. And when I got up this morning and saw the snow, I thought, Lord, you're so good. But I also think about the spiritual attack that we are under and how, in all honesty, the enemy that comes against us would want us to miss the message to Thyatira. And I don't want to miss it. Because though they were growing and they were, they were commended for some things, they got the harshest warning. And when I think about this this church, and Thyatira is interesting. When I was in Thomas, Oklahoma, that was my first church I ever served. It's in Western Oklahoma. And before I went to Thomas, my freshman year of college, I got to go preach around Oklahoma, Western Oklahoma specifically. And I got to go to Godibo a couple of times. Anybody ever been to Godibo? Anybody ever been to Godibo? It's beautiful. It's kind of pretty. It's a farming community, but it's pretty small, Rusty, right? It's kind of a small town. Well, Godibo is kind of like Thyatira. Let me give you some context. It's kind of like think about this. This is a message from Jesus to the churches that were scattered across the Roman Empire. Now, I would think that if it was a message from Jesus, you'd be going to the really big churches or the really big cities. Thyatira is like a message to Godibo, the church at Godibo. You wouldn't think that would be the one that Jesus would record a message to all time, for us to learn from. That's like Thyatira. Thyatira was kind of like a kamikaze town. It was outside of Pergamum, but it was right on the border of the empire. And really, the reason they put Thyatira there is because, they didn't have TikTok or Twitter back then, and so they would hear the attack. They would get the message that an enemy was coming because they would have to attack Thyatira first. So this was kind of like a city that said, "We want to put you out there so you can get killed first," right? Not a lot of people are like, "Let me move to Thyatira," in that situation, but really, it was an important city. And I thought about, why would God communicate a message to Thyatira? And as I think about it, maybe he is saying that even the church in Godibo, even these small churches, even churches like Owosso, Oklahoma, because in all honesty, when it comes to the big old world we live in, there's not a lot of people who know about Owosso, Oklahoma. But you know what I think God is saying? I care about every church. I see every church. You may not feel like you're a big, important contributor to the kingdom of God. But I think the message to Thyatira is saying, look, I see you, and I care about how you serve me. Now look back at verse 18, and let's get into this message. He says, to the angel of the church at Thyatira, he's writing to the pastor there, And the words of the Son of God, who have eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. Now, let's understand this. Who's this message coming from? It's coming from Jesus. He's kind of like he's pulling rank here. He's saying, I'm the one who's speaking to you, and I'm the one who has eyes like a blazing fire. That means he has eyes that can see through any facade or any fakeness. God sees everything, and this is why we have learned the value of practicing the presence of God. And he says about himself, I have eyes like fire. He sees beneath the appearances. This is important to recognize. When God looks at our church, when God looks at every church, he sees beneath the appearances. Sometimes we want to give the appearance that we're more spiritual than we are, or we are someone we're not. But God sees through everything. This is an important concept to understand. God sees you, and you can't hide from him. He says, I have feet like bronze. What does that mean? Jesus is standing in holiness, in unshakable holiness, and it's a warning of judgment. Now, there's a lot of people in the world that don't like the message of judgment, and I get that. But that doesn't mean that message is not true. And one of the things you see in the scripture is that, especially to Thyatira, I want us to understand, this is not a casual message from Jesus. This is an important message for us to hear and understand. And I don't want to miss that these are the words of the Son of God to us. And this is why we've got to do our best to pay attention. And to not let any distraction, whether it's the coffee in your lap, in your living room, or the breakfast you're cooking. It's valuable for us to just stop and go, Lord, this is you speaking to us, so let's pay attention. You know what it reminds me of? We say all the time at our church that one of our core values, another one of our core values, is that we are biblical. And this is a message, I think, that Thyatira is getting, that God's word must impact your life. If you're going to write this down as a point, God expects his word to shape the way we think and live. And this is something we should allow God to do, is God, your word is going to shape how I think. It's going to impact the way I live. We've been in this class on Wednesday night, and I'm sad that it's likely we won't be able to meet this Wednesday, because we're going to hear some incredible testimonies of becoming a disciple. We'll figure that out as we move forward. But you know what? As I think about how important God's word is, that's been our class of digging in to the word of God. You should look at those on or listen to them online. You can't watch them, but you can listen to them, and they're on our website and our app. But we looked at this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It talks about God's word. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuke, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And we've looked at this on Wednesday night, that our church believes that God's word is inspired, it's inerrant, it's infallible. And here's what this means. Inspired means that God directed these words to be written. It is inspired by God. This is a truth we hold. It's infallible. It means that God's word will always lead you in the right direction. When God's word is understood, it is infallible. It works. And this is why we must be a church that says, God, we will not deviate from your word. It's inerrant, meaning that God's word is completely true. And this is what these concepts mean. We've been walking through this on Wednesday night, and this is important for us. In Thyatira, there were many in the church that's what they held to, and this was important. They were commended for this. And you also see a commendation for Thyatira, that they were growing up in their faith. They were growing in their abilities. Like today, we have grown in our abilities. There was a day in our church that if it was a snowy day like this, this would be all that would hear the message of God from our church. Now, our church body, most of them are watching right now if they are not in this room. And I'm thankful that we have grown up in these abilities. But Thyatira was like this. But they weren't just growing in abilities, they were growing spiritually. And this is why I think a message to Thyatira is for us, that God leads us to continuous spiritual growth. This is true individually for you. It's also true for a church, that we are to continually grow up spiritually. And when you read about Thyatira, look at verse 19. He says, I know your works, your love, and your faith, and service, and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. Notice this. They were growing up. They were able to look at their current works, and they were saying, You're growing up. You're doing well. And it's interesting, though, about the shift. Now, if you remember Ephesus in chapter 2, verse 2, you can look back at that just right up earlier in that chapter. Ephesus was known for their patient endurance, And their willingness to confront those who were teaching false things. That was Ephesus. But Ephesus' struggle was they lost their love for God. They could confront, but they lost their love. Thyatira is the opposite. They had a bunch of love, but they lost their ability to confront. And one of the things you see in the life of a church, both of these things are true. We have got to stand against false teaching. And we've got to grow in our love, but we also have to be loving and stand against false teaching. Both of these messages are important. And Thyatira, they had a growing love for each other, and they had a love for God. They were willing to persevere. But Jesus had more negative things about this church than any other church. And why? And write this down. God warns them about sinful tolerance. Now, this is important. And this is one of the struggles of our day, tolerance. We want to say, oh, you know what? I don't want to be mean, or I don't want to offend, so I'm going to be tolerant. Look, this is a very clear warning in Scripture for us to be a faithful church. Look at verse 20. He says, but I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. Now, you know what's important here? Let's just pay attention to the struggle of our day. Think how many churches around us are saying, let's compromise on these on this new sexual ethic. Let's progress to an acceptance of things that the Bible has historically said are immoral. No, let's update our Bibles on these sexual practices or these idols that we create. And what's interesting is this message to the church at Thyatira, there was a woman there. Now, I don't think this was Lydia. If you remember your New Testament, Acts, early in Acts. I can't remember the chapter right now. It's slipping my mind. But Lydia was one of the first converts. And remember her? She was a seller of purple. And she was from Thyatira. She went back, and likely she was the one that started this church. But in this church, there was a woman there. And John calls her a Jezebel. Now, what does that mean? You remember Jezebel? She was this leader in the Old Testament. King Ahab was this Old Testament reference with Jezebel. It was Ahab was the leader of the northern kingdom, and what Jezebel did was the wife of the king of Israel, and she led the entire nation to worship Baal, who was a fertility god, and they would do these sexual, like just gross temple worship. And it was just an immoral practice. And she led God's people to this practice. Well, that's what was going on in Thyatira. Jezebel, he calls her Jezebel. And the Barclay commentary said this about her. He talked about that what she was teaching. In Thyatira, there were a lot of unions there. They were known for these unions. We think that's like American Airlines or our unions around us or auto unions. Look, this has been going on a long time. In Thyatira were a lot of unions, and they would join together, but connected to these unions were this idol temple worship. And the Barclay commentary says these guilds met frequently, and they would have this common meal, and they would come together with these unions, and they would eat this meat sacrificed to idols, and then they would have these sexual practices to these unknown gods. And the church at Thyatira were told, don't do that. The problem was, Jezebel was like, you know what? Let's get along. Hey, this is not that big a deal. It's like, this is just business. How many times have we heard that? Hey, business is here and I'll serve the Lord over here. That's what Jezebel was doing. And this lady was doing that. John called her a Jezebel, and she would kind of say, hey, look, I've got a new word from God for you. This is a new word, and look, this is okay, and look, let's be gracious to these. Maybe we can reach them if we just join in with them. And God says, no, you've got to take a stand. And this is the warning of the church at Ephesus, at Thyatira. They were saying, look, this is a practice. You can't separate your business life and your walk with the Lord. And this is why we've been talking about on Wednesday nights how important it is to have a biblical worldview. That we don't separate our faith from anything. Our faith drives us. We understand the world through the lens of God's word. This is critically important for us, especially as we move into the season of the last days. We've got to hear this message to Thyatira, and we understand the importance of God's word. You know, Isaiah 66:2, look at this verse. It says, this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And as a church family, I look at this message to me, to us, and how important it is for us to wrap our heart and our mind and our commitment to what God has revealed, what God has said to the world, to us. And he's looking back at verse 20, but this I have against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. And you know what's interesting about the time of Jezebel and Ahab? That's when Isaiah was around. That's when the prophets of Baal, that big battle with the prophets of Baal. God's people were compromising morals. And when it comes to God's word, there's so many warnings about in the last days, Christians are going to be compromising morals. We're going to, like, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, it describes the climate of the last days. And see that word? Look at verse 20. See that word tolerate? That's Jesus' greatest rebuke to these churches. We must never tolerate sin. And you know, so many things came to my mind as I was studying this. Like Acts 17. Remember Acts 17? That was the people of Berea. And they were the people that were commended because they even questioned Paul. And they said, let's make sure, Paul, that you're right. And this Thyatira recap for us, that we anchor our lives to spirit-led obedience, we got to recognize that it's never, that when the Spirit moves, and here's how you can recognize the Spirit of God moving. Every time the Spirit of God moves, he will never contradict his word. There will never be a time that the Holy Spirit will say something to you that will be in conflict with his word. I think back years ago when I was a youth minister, and I had a dad in my youth group, a father of one of our students, who came to me and said, hey, God told me that I'm supposed to divorce my wife and go off with this other woman. And I looked at him, I was like, no, he didn't. That may have been the burrito you ate last night, but that wasn't God. Because God would never tell you to do something that's in contradiction to his word. The problem was with this Jezebel is she was leading God's people to go against what God had said. Now, three things that I think are really important for us, and I want us to catch this today. Obviously, we need to be a church that prioritizes God's word. And I pray this is something that marks us. That God's word is a priority for us. Here's another thing that I pray our church catches. And you know, the one of the benefits of today, I think that we'll have a large number of our church watching this message, even though we don't have a ton here. But here's what I want you to hear me. One of the things that the church at Thyatira was not doing, they weren't testing their teachers. And you know what I believe you're to do, and I pray you do, I want to help you do? I want to help our church develop the ability to test every teacher according to what God's word says. You ought to be testing me according to God's word. Anybody that gets in this pulpit, you ought to be testing them against the word of God. Anybody you hear on a podcast, anybody you're listening to, the churches of our day, you must test every teacher according to what God's word says. This is critically important. This is what the church at Thyatira was not doing. Now, here's another thing. This Jezebel lady was saying, I got a new word for you. I got a new word from the Lord for you. I just want to tell you, anytime you hear somebody say, I got a new word from the Lord for you, that is a smoking red flag. And this is something I pray you see. You ought to write this down. New words from God are always red flags. And I realize this is a Tulsa challenge. We are in the hotbed in Tulsa of, hey, we got a new word for you. Well, let me tell you something. If I ever get up and say, I got a new word from God for you, that's a red flag. Because most of the time, when I've heard somebody say, I got a new word for you, what it's doing is contradicting the old word. And God's word is sufficient. We don't need a new word. We've got the word of God. And this is an important message and lesson we've got to learn from Thyatira. But lastly, and I want us to, I know it's hard to watch online and sometimes it's hard to, dig in. But let's not miss this word to Thyatira. We see something else, that God gives a reminder of judgment here. And let's not miss that this reminder of judgment, it's gracious and it's urgent. Now let's feel this a minute. Look at verse 21. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Let's think about that. This is a woman that is rebelling against God, leading the church to rebel against God, but yet God still gives her time to repent. Man, that's, to me, that is such a motivating example of the graciousness of God. I don't know if you read our Bible reading today, but as I read it this morning, I was thinking about the willful sinfulness of God's people. I was thinking, as you read Genesis 38, I was thinking about the patience of God, the graciousness of God, the fact that that was Judah in Genesis 38, yet God, he repented. The value of repentance. And look, let's just feel that, verse 21. I gave her time to repent, but sadly she refused to repent of her sexual immorality. And then what he says, behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw her into great tribulation unless they repent of their works. You know what? God's being honest here. Sin will never produce more peace for you. It never produces more hope for you. It's like when I was raising my kids, I would tell them, look, I want you to walk with Jesus, not because I'm a pastor, but because that's the best thing you can do. That's the best thing you can do in your life, is to walk with the Lord and trust the Lord. Like Psalm 16, 5 and 6, you've assigned my portion of my cup. You've made my lot secure. The boundary lines are in pleasant places. And you know, when I think about this, there's consequences to sin. And we see it in verse 22. And then he says, I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. You know what? He's not being cruel here. He's saying the results of your sin will be generational. And this is true. I think about the generational impact. My mom was here at Candlelight, and on the way home, way to Owosso, I was talking to her about our family in Arkansas, and many of them died when I was younger. And I didn't really catch, as I was knew all these people that were in my family, my mom said, yeah, none of them went to church. They really didn't know the Lord. And I was like, oh my goodness. Come to think about it, it made sense, because every time we'd visit, we never went to church with them. And you know, there's only one group that actually had a faith. And I was like, Mom, tell me about how you came to Christ. My mom came to Christ. My Uncle Clayton, her brother, came to Christ. You know what that did? It changed our entire generation. And this is what Jesus does. On the positive side, but look, on the negative side, he's just speaking to a reality that this heritage of sin will be devastating. And this is why I pray we turn to the Lord. And you know, sexual sin is generationally impacting. Idolatry is generationally impacting. And the key component here is compromise. That's the key component. And I love it that we hear this message. It's important for us to hear this message. Look at verse 24. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. And isn't that true about immorality and about sexual sin? And let's realize, as we get the pressure to compromise on what, whether it's heterosexual sin or homosexual sin, it doesn't matter. It's a deep thing of Satan. And he says, to those of you who don't hold to this teaching, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. You know, he's saying, look, stay the course. Trust me. Trust my word. And then he says, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I give authority over the nations. He will rule over them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces. Even I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. There's a lot of figurative language here, but let me just summarize it into this, that it's a blessing. Blessings await. Joy awaits. This is not like a domination, like, good, if I'm faithful, I'll dominate over somebody. That's not the heart here. The heart here is that God will bless faithfulness. And this is why I pray we are a church and we raise up a generation that will be faithful to the end. Now, as I look at prophecy unfolding in front of us, as the world is, it feels like it's the season of the last days. I don't know if God's timetable is likely not ours. It's never, God's timetable has never been my timetable. And I don't know if we are, if God's going to come back in our generation. Or, Emily, can I borrow her for a minute? I'll pay her $5. Or I don't know if it's our job to be such an inspiration. This is my granddaughter, by the way. And I don't know if we're to be such an inspiration to this generation that they will hear stories about her poppy when I'm maybe in heaven. And my poppy was faithful to Jesus. My poppy believed the word of God. I don't know God's timetable. But I know that this letter to this church is for us. And God calls us to faithfulness. God calls us to, and I look at verse 29, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That God calls us to faithfulness to the end. And that is a love for God that is like Thyatira, a love for people like Thyatira, but it's also a discipline to say, that's not right. And we will not compromise what God has said. And so, let's not miss the message today. You know, as we end, and I need to end this, and thank you, Clara. I'm just going to keep her. I'll just keep her. But look, this message to Thyatira, it demands some confrontation for us. And so let me ask a question. Are there areas in your life that you have tolerated that God is against? We need to listen to that. Have you softened your convictions because of discomfort? Let's think about that. Have you softened the convictions you have about God? Oh, wait, that may be uncomfortable. Are there voices shaping your life that are opposed to what God has revealed in His Word? Man, this girl, you know what I pray that she sees? Is a loving grandfather that loves people, that joyfully sacrifices for people, even that disagree with me, but yet that stands on the truth of God's Word. That's a heritage that we are called to give away and to stand on. You know what? If maybe you're watching today or you're here today and you see this message of judgment and you're like, golly, that seems harsh. Can I tell you this? This is not about shame or about making you feel uncomfortable. Do you know what this is? It's about alignment. For you to align your life with the Lord. And you know what? That's my prayer for you. I think about what my mother did for us. How she aligned her life with the Lord. And now today, it's changed generations. And I just want you to know the following Christ will produce so much fruit for you.